Do any of you know we celebrated on Sunday? Martha? What's that? Good. So, Martha, how many kings were there? I thought there were five. So was that right? Balthasar, Melchor, Gaspar, right? King Herod and Jesus, amen? What were the gifts? You don't remember, huh? Okay, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What does gold symbolize? Okay, king. The king, right? Jesus is the king of kings, right? How about frankincense? Not kings. The gold would be for the king. Frankincense, because Jesus is God. Okay. So the altar servers have used incense. When you see that white smoke that's ascending on high, really great aroma, huh? And how about myrrh?
Jesus is dead.
Okay, it refers to the humanity of Christ, that he was destined to die on the cross. So we've got his royalty, you've got his divinity, and you've got his humanity. How can we interpret that in a way in which we can give our three gifts? Gold would be almsgiving. You ever hear the word almsgiving? Almsgiving? What's that, Toshi?
Fasting.
No, that's different than almsgiving. Almsgiving would be the three T's. Your time, your treasures, and your talent. Your time, your treasures, and your talent. How you can give that to God. The incense would be, what type of prayer can we give to God this new year? And myrrh is symbolic of what type of sacrifice or mortification we can give to Jesus. You know that we are still in the Christmas season. Did you know that? Did you know that? And if you know your liturgical calendar, we have Advent, which culminates in Christmas Eve, right? And after Christmas, we celebrated. No, we celebrated the Sunday after Christmas. How's your memory?
Holy Family.
Holy Family. And January 1st, we celebrated, what would that be? New Year's, that's true, but also in the church. Mary, the Mother of God. Mary, the Mother of God. Then last Sunday was the Epiphany, which means manifestation. And then this Sunday, we end the Christmas season and we celebrate the baptism of Jesus. And we enter into ordinary time. Up until yes?
February 3rd?
February the 3rd. No, we enter into that's ordinary time. Ordinary time takes us up to what?
March 6th.
In which we enter into what? Lent. You going to say that? With Ash Wednesday. And that takes us up to eventually Holy Week, then Easter Triduum, then Easter. And Easter season lasts 50 days and culminates in what? Pentecost, right? The coming of the Holy Spirit. So that's where we are liturgically. Now, this week, our class, we're going to be talking about one of the four last things, rather the five last things. The five last things are the reality of death, judgment, heaven, hell, and purgatory. Okay, so death, judgment, heaven, hell, and purgatory. This week we're going to be talking about heaven. So we can pass out the sheets and we'll talk about what heaven is, where it is, what it's not, what is in heaven, what's not in heaven, and very, very important, how to get there. Right? Important to get to heaven, right? We have to use the means to get to our eternal destiny, which is heaven. So the title is Home, Sweet Home, Forever, Heaven. Belinda? Home, sweet home, forever, which is heaven. Okay. Try to imagine the happiest day in your life. The most joyful experience ever. The most memorable and unforgettably happy experience in your life. So you spend a few moments in trying and to bring this incredible explosion of joy you experience. Now, another exercise of your imagination, try to magnify this truly magnificent, joyful experience 1,000 times. A million times. You have it? Lastly, one more addition to this creative experience, eternal. This will be forever and ever and ever and ever, absolutely no end to it. What do you think? You've done a little Ignatian contemplation though, in 2 minutes. Huh? Happiest day, hour in your life, a million times better, forever and ever and ever, you have just a little glimpse of what heaven is. If you think about that, you should be able to carry any cross. Any cross is kind of light if you think about that. And how, you know, how short life is. Life is short. St. Augustine says, our life in comparison with eternity is a blink of the eye. Yeah. Blink of the eye. Life is over. The psalmist says, our life is like the flower of the field. It rises in the morning and dries up and dies as the sun goes down. Short. You know, Belinda, and I've been thinking about this the past year. If I live to be 80, I've already lived more than 75% of my earthly existence. I'm near the other part of the bridge. How about you? How short life is, right? And you know, mathematically, the older you get, the quicker life goes. No? You go from 3 to 4, that's 25% of your life, right? So mathematically, the older you get, time flies by quicker. So we should try to live our life to the fullest. Now, you can interpret that many ways. Living your life to the fullest is this, trying to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen? Yeah. That doesn't mean just having fun, have a good time. No, that's not. and really trying to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's what it means. You know, the richest person and the poorest person in the world ends up in the same place. 6 feet beneath the ground, right? Did you ever see, you ever go to a funeral, any of you? Not yet? Ever been to a funeral mass? Did you ever see a U-Haul van following the funeral car? What does that mean? You know what a U-Haul van is? What's a U-Haul van? The van that takes furniture, right? And that's, so if someone dies, he can't take his furniture and his stuff, can he, to the grave, can he? No. The only thing we're going to take to the grave, which is good, is our love for God and our love for neighbor. That's what we want to give to the Lord on our day of judgment. Right? Okay. Heaven. Now the reality of heaven goes way beyond what you've tried to understand by your imagination. What was the happiest day or moment in your life? None of you ever thought about this? I think it's worth reflecting upon. I'll tell you. 1986. You weren't even born yet, I don't think. No? May 25th. It was a Sunday. It was the feast day of the Blessed Trinity. I was in the most visited spiritual monument in the world. Second is Our Lady Guadalupe, and third is Padre Pio, where he's buried. And it was at 9:30 in the morning. The Sistine Choir was singing. And you had these priests and bishops and archbishops and cardinals processing in. And a man dressed in white with a crozier and a big hat on, it's called the mitre. And he started off the Mass speaking in Italian. And after the Mass had gone on about an hour and a half, I knelt down, and that same man dressed in white with the crozier and the big hat, he came and he put his hands on my head. Then he prayed over me, and I got up a new priest. And that man was John Paul II. Happiest day, happiest hour, happiest moment of my life was when John Paul II ordained me a priest. So I've got holy hair, right? You can see them. A little bit less, but I got holy hair. John, do you think the happiest day in your brother's life was when he was ordained? It might be. August 4th, was it?
Yeah.
Now, his brother was ordained an oblate priest a few months ago. He seemed to be pretty happy. So maybe we who are older, more waters rush underneath the bridge, but I think all of you have had some happy moment in your life. Not yet? Not yet? It'll come. I mean, all you're kind of and the sour posters, right? No, it'll arrive one day. How about when you went to Jerusalem? Did you like that? Happy moment? One of the most happy in your life? I think so. You're visiting all those places where Jesus was born, where he died, the Holy Sepulchre, where he rose from the dead, the Garden of Gethsemane, Ein Karim, right? All those beautiful monuments, no? You might have to think about the human experience that you really enjoyed. Magnify that a million times and forever and ever and ever. You get a mere glimpse of what heaven is. Got that, Martha? Now, to say something somewhat paradoxical, contradictory, think probably the happiest moment in the life of your mother, Amanda, is when you were born. Really. I mean, there was probably a lot of pain, right? When you ask your mother when you were born, was a lot of pain, she probably says, there sure was. But after you're born, she forgot, hey, got a little daughter, got a little son here. Hey, here's Andrea. Hey. For mothers who become mothers the first time, probably a lot of joy in that. What do you think? So we're trying to use human analogies to arrive at the divine. And it's always going to be limited because we try to explain the infinite with finite words. It always falls short. That's why I have poetry, right? Poets try to give more sublime analogies, alliterations, and metaphors, and images to express the sublime. But it always falls short. But you should really long to go to heaven. You want to go to heaven? Más o menos? You really want to go? Yeah. All of us should really want to go to heaven. And you know why we're here in confirmation? To get to heaven. Yeah, you're going to extend, no, to receive my confirmation, yes. But that's not the end. The end is to get to heaven. You receive confirmation, you get an invasion of the Holy Spirit. You're able to follow Christ more closely so that when you live your life, you'll be faithful to God, die in the state of grace, and go to heaven for all eternity. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Got that? Okay. Let's move on. Desire for heaven. We should all have an earnest yearning to get to heaven. Do you, or has that thought really never crossed your mind, or if it has crossed your mind, then maybe you really never gave it too much importance. I think some of you will understand this. Do any of you know how to swim? No, none of you? You just barely, any of you pretty good swimmers? I am too. Yeah. I swam my first mile when I was 12. So, what?
I swam my mile when I was
10. Wow, you beat me. Pretty good. But when I was about 12 or 13, I could swim underwater for about a minute. I got pretty good lungs. Could you do that too? Ever do that? Probably good lungs, no? However, Aiden, when you come up, after swimming a minute underneath the water, do you really appreciate that air? Man, it's the best thing in the world, isn't it, no? So I'm using that, and once again, analogy, we should even hunger for God more than that air that we're breathing in after being a minute underneath the water. Got it? I mean, you really want that air, don't you? No, you're like, a minute is a long time, no? So we should be longing for God. More than the air that comes into our lungs, we should be longing for God in our hearts. You swim by yourself or are you being tugged by a boat? Good. Okay. You weren't being dragged by a boat, no? Okay, good. Okay, good. That's pretty good. A mile, that's pretty good, especially at 10. Hopefully in 5 years you'll be in the Olympic Games, right? We hope. Good. Okay. False desires. Every person on earth has desires. Many of them are false desires that in the end only bring disillusion, sadness, depression, and hopelessness. Desire for pleasure, drink, sexual satisfaction, power, and wealth. These are all the worldly pursuits of so many people. But once they have them, it's like a thirsty sailor who drinks a gallon of salt water. Can't imagine that. You're in a boat there and you're really thirsty and you're so thirsty they didn't bring any water. So you throw the bucket down, you pull the bucket up, and you're drinking a gallon of salty water. What's going to happen? You're going to be even more thirsty. You're probably going to get sick, huh? His thirst becomes even more intense. You who are well-qualified linguists, do you know the difference between pleasure and joy? Or is it the same? The same thing?
Pleasure is more of in the moment. Joy is everlasting.
Well said. Pretty good. Are you going to say something? You know, you can actually buy pleasure, and it depends upon external stimuli, right? From the senses. Well, also, joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit that's within us, right? You know, you could even be suffering and experience joy at the same time. Did you ever read the Acts of the Apostles? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See the apostles, they're arrested, and they're being beaten for Christ. And what do? They rejoice that they can actually suffer for Christ. So joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. There's pleasure. After this class, Belinda and Inda could take them to Domino's Pizza and then Baskin-Robbins, right? Have a nice meal, a nice healthy meal, no? Ice cream and pizza, right? I like pizza. I like a good ice cream too. that's pleasure, right? But maybe I'll scandalize you by saying this, but the Beatles used to sing, "Money can't buy me love." No, you hear that? Yeah, money can't buy me love. No, it was the Beatles in the 60s. So let's try to study really what heaven is. Get some. At least a glimpse of what heaven is. And one day we're going to arrive, God willing, huh? We hope. What is heaven? Where is it? Who's there? And how can we get there? I'm going to try to respond to those four questions, okay? So, what is heaven? Where is it? Who is there? How can we get there? Do you ever remember this verse, John, where Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within us"? You ever heard that? You ever heard that one? Well, Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within us. Any interpretation? The kingdom of God is within us. If you're living in the state of grace, you already have God within you, right? You got the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit within you. So the beginning of eternity in heaven is already in our soul if we're living in the state of grace. Amen?
Yeah.
Live in the state of grace, already you have heaven within you. Make sure that you die in the state of grace. Then you'll go to heaven forever. What is heaven? Heaven is our, two words, eternal home. Right now we're in a temporary home. You might think where you live is a permanent home, but it's temporary. Teresa of Avila, one of the greatest saints, says in Spanish, "Our life is una mala noche en una mala cantina." bad night in a lousy hotel. That's what she says. Teresa of Avila, no? Expressing the fact that there's a lot of tribulations while we live, right, Marta? Okay, where we will be with God, the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, forever and ever. Who do you speak most to, Martha? Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit? I think I know. You speak most to Jesus, right? You probably never speak to the Holy Spirit, do you? Very little. Father, a little bit when you say Our Father, right? So most of you, when you pray, you probably pray most to Jesus, and you pray the rosary, you pray to Mary. But eventually, hopefully, you'll start to talk to God the Father. Yeah, very few do. And God, the Holy Spirit, is even more difficult because he seemed to be somewhat ethereal, abstract. I think I told you, I was teaching confirmation many years ago and asked, who's the Holy Spirit? One boy always raised his hand. He said, the bird. Okay. No. At least you got the symbol right. For the Holy Spirit is not the bird, or say New York, the Boyd. Okay. Because it's the dove that they alighted upon Jesus. Right? That's a symbol. It's a good symbol, but it's really not the reality. I think it's a good question. Who do you talk to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? Is there one you talk to most? I'll leave that for your own examination. But you don't want to be forgetting the other two persons. Now, there's no divorce in God. Where the Father is, you got the Son. Where the Son is, you got the Holy Spirit. Where the Holy Spirit is, you got the Father. They're always united. It's this way. The Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Father. Mutual love between the Father and the Son, Holy Spirit. Okay? That's the Trinity. Okay, you get that? Number two. So we're going to talk about the negative now. The negative, what is not in heaven. Okay. Other than Catholic radio, they were asking, you know, are dogs and cats and animals in heaven? We don't know. It's not dogmatically defined. Well, we shouldn't be spending all our life thinking about it going to be dogs or cats or pigs or crocodiles in heaven. What's important is that we get to heaven. Okay, what is not in heaven? In heaven, there is no evil. There's no sin. Wherever we go now, there's kind of a mixture of light and darkness, huh? Good and evil. Bad people, good people. Wherever we go. But we should try to avoid going to places where there is a lot of evil. You go to a place where there is evil, and you're already what? You're in the near occasion of sin. And you should avoid going around with people that do evil. So after school, you got a friend. Maybe he's been your friend since you were in first grade, and he's now in eighth grade, and he likes to steal. It's called a five-finger discount. You hear that one? You ever hear a five-finger discount? Five-finger discount. So whenever you go with him to the store, he's always practicing the five-finger discount. And he's trying to cajole you to get you to do it also. What do you have to do? End it. No more. He's going to be pulling you into evil. You know what's really difficult is sometimes you have to drop friends. You hear that? And it's hard. You might have a friend for 4 or 5 years, but now that you're 13, 14, 15, this friend is maybe doing bad things. And when you're 8 or 9, he was a really good friend, but now he's doing things that you know that are wrong. And he's saying, yeah, you're just one of those Catholics. Come on. Wake up and smell the coffee. Get with it. You got to be cool. You got to be free. Do your own thing. Come on. You listen to that priest there in St. Peter Chanel. Come on. He's living in the Middle Ages, no? He's an obsolete relic of the Middle Ages, that guy. Come on. Oh, we got to walk with Christ, right? We have to be walking to a different beat, as the poet says. Got to be different. Countercultural, huh? Right, Martha? So there's no evil in heaven. You know that one of the best ways to get evil out of us? Go to confession and communion and pray the rosary. Amen? You agree with that, John? You go to confession, get it out. Go to communion, you bring God in your heart, and you say the rosary, and Mary blesses you. Try to do that. That'll get you to heaven. Okay, there is no suffering. Here's a theological, philosophical question for you. Aiden, is suffering good or bad?
Well, like you said, if you're suffering for Christ, it's good. If you're suffering for another cause, it would be bad.
Well said. Technically speaking, Aristotle, that Thomas Aquinas actually used to explain his theology, says that suffering is neutral. Depends on what we do with it. So if we unite our suffering to Christ and the cross, and then the holy sacrifice of the Mass, suffering has infinite value. Maybe you saw the movie of Padre Pio. Ever hear Padre Pio? What was his great suffering, John?
The stigmata.
How long you had that?
50 years.
50 years. Can you imagine having the stigmata 50 years? Why did he have that, you know? And you know what?
So that he could offer up his suffering?
Right, for the salvation of souls, right? Conversion of sinners. Now that's hard. One occasion this lady came up and said, "Does it hurt?" And he said, "This is not a Christmas decoration." Using a bit of sarcasm, no? Of course it hurt. It would bleed every Friday and would bleed the whole time of Lent, those 40 days. So I like this one-liner. Suffering either makes you better or bitter. Got it? Makes you better if you're united to Christ. Makes you bitter if you don't unite to Christ. Yeah. Got that? Okay, so suffering. There's no suffering in heaven. Okay, there are no tensions, nor wars, nor any fights or conflicts. There are no tears, nor sadness. Now all these things that follow come as a result of original sin. Sickness, earthquakes, storms, blizzards, excessive heat or excessive cold, none of these exist in heaven. You want to be happy?
Yeah.
You think your sisters want to be happy?
Yeah.
How about your family? Your classmates?
Yeah.
Okay. All of your responses are good. Are there some people that are sad?
Yeah.
Okay, then, okay. Now, if everyone wants to be happy, then why is it that so many people are sad today? You know, the phenomenon of girls cutting their wrists, hopefully you've never done it, cutting their wrists is kind of a wake-up call that there's something wrong with that girl, right? Cutting her wrist, right? A sign of real sadness, maybe depression, or maybe even despair, huh? Well, what do you think, Aiden? Everyone wants to be happy. Why do you have a lot of people? I think it's 20% of Americans take depression pills, something like that. It's a lot.
We're looking for happiness in the wrong places.
You got it. You're looking for happiness in the wrong place. Yeah. So instead of looking for happiness, they're looking for happiness in drugs and drinking and sex and casinos and vino and all that. That can buy you pleasure, but it can't buy you God. So, in other words, what you're saying, the closer you get to God, the more happy you're going to be, right? It seems very pretty simple, right? People should know that. The closer you get to God, the more happy you're going to be. You're going to be transmitting the happiness to others. A big smile on your face, huh? Good. Now you got one. I saw it. As you say, one of the most evident signs of being a good Catholic is you got a smile on your face. Almost. Okay, there. Okay, good. Yeah, we got God. We have all the reasons in the world to be happy. Right, Toshi? Yeah. All right, let's move on. Who else is in heaven? So only God is in heaven, no one else there? Someone else is in heaven? There's a lot of people in heaven, right? I'm going to find out who they are. Okay, the huge numbers of, technically they're higher than the human person. You know who they are.
Angels.
Angels, yeah. Huge number of angels are in heaven. Now, Aiden, I got a really tough question for you now. If the angels are in heaven, are also the Yankees? You didn't pick that one up, did you? None of you understood the joke? The angels, they're a baseball team, right? How about the Yankees? No. that's a bad word in L.A., isn't it? We New Yorkers, we have to kind of hide our teams, huh? Okay, so we got the angels in heaven. Also the New Orleans Saints. Oh no. You know, that's a football team. They're really doing lousy this year, right? Okay, so the Saints are in heaven. And the Saints will be there forever. All these people who died in what?
In the state of grace.
Perfect. In the state of grace. Will be permanent residents in heaven. We hope and pray that our relatives and friends will one day be in heaven forever. What does it mean to die in the state of grace?
It means to not have committed a mortal sin and to live God.
Okay, not to die in the state of mortal sin, right? Because if someone commits a mortal sin, is there hope? Okay, they make a good confession, right? Mm-hmm. No, we should all pray that we'll be able to receive the three sacraments before we die. Know what they would be, John? What would they be? In what order? First would be?
Confession,
and then?
Holy Communion.
Well, okay. That's usually after the anointing, the second communion. You pray for that. When we go in to visit hospital, people are really sick. If the people are still coherent, we try to hear the confession, then we give them the anointing of the sick, then we give them communion. Wouldn't that be great to die right after that? Yeah. We can pray for that grace. So the last three things you do, you go to confession, you receive the anointing of the sick, and then communion. Then you die. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. Whoever eats my body, drinks my blood, will have everlasting life. And I'll raise him up on the last day. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
So it's a good idea to have a priest as a friend. Amen? Or a priest as a brother, huh? So much the better, huh? You do that, hey? That's good fire insurance, right? You know what fire insurance is? Spiritual fire insurance. To avoid going down there, huh? All right. Number four. You ever hear of St. Paul? What does St. Paul say about the wonders of heaven? Oh, he's a great writer. The great apostle St. Paul was momentarily taken up to heaven, exclaimed, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the mind of man the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love him. In other words, we can never plumb the depths with our limited imagination how great heaven really is. Okay, so human, write this in, human words fall short if the reality of the sublime greatness of heaven. Human words fall short of the reality of the sublime greatness of heaven. My class on Wednesday, one of the guys asked a good question. Can anyone come back from dead and visit us and talk to us? What do you think? Did you ever read the life of Dominic Savio? What happened to the life of Dominic Savio? He died when he was 14 and 11 months. And you probably know his spiritual director was St. John Bosco. So John Bosco was praying, and Dominic Savio actually appeared to him. And he was bathed in glory. He was already in heaven, but he came back to talk to John Bosco. And John Bosco was talking with him. They were kind of bantering, you know what that means, kind of having fun with each other. And Bosco said, what gave you greatest joy when you were living in this world? And Savio said, well, why don't you guess? He said, well, Maybe my prayer life, pretty good. Guess again. Well, maybe the fact that we're able to bring a lot of young people to God through in the oratory, that was really good. What else? Well, maybe my penances. I mean, I fasted a lot. I gave up a lot of things, so that gave me a lot of joy. And then John Bosco said, well, I don't know anything else to ask you. And Dominic Savio said, what gave me greatest joy in life was my love for the Blessed Virgin Mary. He said, go and you tell the whole oratory of young people to love the Blessed Virgin Mary. Later on in your life, if you do that, you love Mary, you get people to love Mary, that's going to give you so much joy. Amen? So really try to do that. Try to love Mary and get some of your companion to love the Blessed Mother. Now, your little brother or sister, talk to him about Mary. What number are you? You're number 3 or 4? You're what? And there are 8 altogether? 7. And tell the little ones about Mary. Pray with them. And they'll look up to you. The little ones look up to you. Oh, my older sister. Oh, she's in confirmation. Ooh. They look up to you. Be surprised. I mean, I'm number 2 of 9. The other ones, they kind of looked up at, oh, Mike and Ed, they're the big guns, huh? The big bananas. It's a New York expression. Okay? Important people, okay? All right. So, what else does St. Paul say about heaven? The great apostle underlines the, you ready, MJ? The shortness of this life. The shortness of this life. We're here today and we're gone tomorrow. The poet would say, blown by the wind. Life is short. Take advantage of the moment present. Shortness of life and our suffering in comparison with the glory of heaven, he uses these words. The sufferings of this present time are nothing in comparison with the glory that awaits the sons and daughters of God. So we have to suffer today, nothing in comparison to heaven that awaits us. How does it apply to us? Quite simply this. Our life is short. And our sufferings are very few. Write that in there. Our sufferings are very few. If we compare this to the immense, total, permanent, unending joy that will be ours once we make it to heaven. Someone said purgatory. Hey, no, they say, aim high. If you aim high to heaven, you'll make at least a purgatory. But if you don't aim that high, you may end up in the other place. Huh? So aim really high, okay? Aim high as you possibly can. Try to get way up there, okay? In other words, in the midst of the struggles, sorrows, uncertainties, and failures of life, it all ends. And if we can keep our eyes fixed on Jesus who perfects our faith and live and die in the state of grace, then heaven is ours forever. Do you remember, you're a Bible scholar, I'm pretty sure. Do you remember when Peter was walking on the water? Did he sink? Yes, he did. Remember when he sink? Don't remember that passage? He walked on the water, walking about 3 o'clock in the morning, and then, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Jesus walking on the water, and then he draws close to Peter, and Peter starts to walk on the water, and then what happens? Peter starts to walk and then he sinks, right? Why did Peter sink? He first started to walk. Okay, that's a good one. Another one?
He didn't leave.
That's another good response.
He got scared because he doubted.
Good. I think I have the best one. I'll give you all an A minus. I think I got maybe even better than that. Okay. Max?
You got distracted.
What?
Distracted.
Okay, good. Okay, you're all good. I'm much more... He lifted his eyes off Christ. Because when he was looking into the eyes of Christ, he was walking. But when he lifted his eyes off Christ, paying attention to the wind and the waves, he got fearful and he started to sink. Good interpretation? All of you are right. But I think I hit the nail on the head. And I think one of the principal reasons why we sink is because we failed to focus on Christ. So instead of focusing on the problem solver, we focus more on the problem. The problem gets even bigger, right? Who's the problem solver? Jesus. Focus on him, he'll help us to get through the storm and the waves and the tempest. We have to have our eyes fixed on him. Amen? Yeah. Focus on him. Okay. Now, this next one, I wrote this 2 years ago, but in baseball, they actually changed some of the rules, so I'm going to have to rewrite this, so forgive me, because they actually changed a rule in baseball, so this is not perfectly applicable if you know any of you know anything about baseball. So let's go on. Can we lose heaven? Okay, once we go to heaven, we're not going to lose heaven. Never. It is like an athlete runner who has crossed the finish line first. He is crowned champion, no way to lose it. Okay, here's the one that, so maybe change this for next year, okay? Or it is like a baseball player who has slid into home plate and he's called safe. Safe. Then the umpire cannot change his mind. That player is safe and scored the winning run. What's the change? None of you know enough about baseball, huh? That's right. You know, a couple of years ago, they wouldn't have a challenge. Once the umpire said that's it, but how do they challenge it? I don't like the rule. I feel they should go back. Actually, you know, the baseball is being filmed, okay? So what they do is they rewind it, and sometimes they watch it, the experts in New York, they watch it sometimes 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times. So they can actually change their mind. No? So I'm going to have to change the analogy for next time. Okay? Okay. So once we get home to heaven, God is going to say, well, I'll think about it. I'll tell you tomorrow. I'll let you hear, and then you can come, and I'm going to kick you out. No? No. It's not going to happen that. Once you make it to heaven, you're home safe. Okay? You're home safe. All right. Once we've died in God's grace, we are saved and destined for heaven. So write that in there. We're saved and destined for heaven. And forever and ever. Should we long for heaven? Andrea, what do you think? Should we? Mm-hmm. Yes, and always. The Old Testament psalm expresses the importance of longing in the image of a deer. Try to imagine these words in the deer journeys. As the deer yearns for the running streams, so does my soul yearn for you, O Lord my God. Imagine a deer that has been wandering aimlessly the whole day through a desert waste. All day he's found no water. The day has been hot as well as humid. Finally, as the sun descends, he arrives at a forest, and there at the entrance is a stream of fresh and running water. What do you think he'll do? Of course, he'll rush to that running stream of cold, pure, crystalline water, and drink, and drink, and drink, until he is totally satisfied. So should we long for heaven to be with God forever. Amen? Amen. Number 9. What are the 2 worst things that could happen to us in opposition to attaining heaven? Here they are. The 2 are related to mortal sin. So the first is mortal sin is bad, But anything worse than that? Well, that's right. Dying in mortal sin is worse. So dying in mortal sin is worse. Because if you commit a mortal sin, there's always hope. But if you die in mortal sin without repentance, there's no hope. Got that? We can always repent and turn from mortal sin. However, if we die in the state of mortal sin, then we... Okay, just write this. We lose God and heaven for all eternity. May Jesus, Mary, and Joseph help us to keep clear of mortal sin, or if we have fallen, to seek confession and repentance as soon as possible. Question?
Yeah. So if you die with mortal sin, no matter how good the person you are, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you'll lose your soul for all eternity, yeah. Yeah. It's a good question, yeah. That's why we pray the Hail Mary. We say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I know what you're saying is very serious. Let me give you a word of hope, okay? And I want all of you to do it. Here we have the image of Divine Mercy. Most of you know how to pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, right? Now, if someone's dying and you pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, some mysterious way that person is going to be saved. You hear that? Very important. Someone's dying, you pray the Chaplet, you can pray it in 5 minutes. God, Jesus promised Saint Faustina, a canonized saint, in some mysterious way the mercy of God is going to intervene and that person is going to be saved. Even though that person might not be a practicing Catholic, might even be an atheist. And that's incredible if you think about it. So I would encourage all of you, ask your mom and dad to send away to buy a box of the Divine Mercy cards. So do you know what they are? The little cards. You could probably buy a thousand for probably $10. Spanish or English, and have them in your pocket. Always have two or three in your pocket, and give them away. And I give them away like pancakes. I just give them away. When I go to the hospital, someone's dying, hey, let's kneel down, let's pray for that person. I don't really believe it, pray anyway. Now he's dying. Okay, Father. In that moment, they're a little bit more vulnerable. Okay, hey, poor guy's dying. Okay, Father. Eternal Father. Yeah, well, okay. I'm a Jehovah's Witness. Now you're a Catholic. Come on, we'll kneel down. Let's pray for him. Be a little bit assertive. No, we've got to pray this. This is for you. It's a beautiful card. So what's happening? He's dying. And Jesus appears before God the Father, showing his wounds in his hands, in his feet, in his open side. And God the Father cannot resist when Jesus says, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing. That's my interpretation of it. God's mercy is so infinite. So all of you can help. You're probably going to live beyond your parents and your grandparents. Maybe not. You never tell. But probably some of you are going to be present when your relatives are going to be passing away. Hey, take advantage to bring the priest and pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. We want to try to get as many people to heaven as possible. Got that? Many people. God can use you, whether or not you're 13 or you're 75, God can use you to bring as many people to heaven as possible. Amen? So let's end with the last question, and it is, do you want to go to heaven? Más o menos? You really want to go? So pray every day to your guardian angel. Pray to your guardian angel. And the saints. And the Blessed Virgin Mary, that when you die, Jesus will say, welcome home and well done, faithful servant. May God help us all to long for heaven, take the proper steps to get to heaven, and strive to lead other people to heaven. Amen. So let's say our closing prayer to Mary, that all of us our relatives and friends. God will use you as apostles to bring as many people to heaven as possible. Okay? You got your prayer to Mary? You have it memorized? In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Prayer of consecration to Mary. Mary, my Queen and my Mother. I consecrate to you this day. My eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being without reserve. Wherefore, good Mother, Samuel, keep me and guard me as your property and possession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Is there an announcement? So there's a retreat, right? Okay.
Either at 12:40, so you're not going to be late on registration. It's really important to be there.
The shortest retreat in the parish is only just a very short time, right? Only about 2 hours, okay? So be punctual. Okay, good. See you tomorrow.
Thank you, Father.